This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going yard off of Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton now in the bullpen. One inning, three hits, two runs. Said homer. He sits here on this May 5th. His record, let's see here. It's 0-6. 7 home runs and 27 and two-thirds innings pitched. His earned run average is a robust 9.76. His whip would be a great ERA. It's 2.20. Abysmal for a major league starting pitcher who's making $15 million this year. Again, he's been a really good pitcher during his career. Really good in the playoffs. He's 41. Sometimes you're just 41 and you start pitching like it. Velocity's still in mid-90s, but the execution performance speaks volumes. So, before we get back to the phones at 410-583-1057, talking about the Orioles on this off day, last place in the East, had a chance to win back-to-back series for the first time this year, couldn't do it. Had a chance to win three straight games for the first time this year, couldn't do it. I'll start. Charlie Morton's an F. Unmitigated disaster, and there's no other way to describe it. He has been terrible for the Orioles this year.
He's walked 21 batters, too. And even yesterday in the game, I mean, 1-2, got the first two guys out easily, and then it went to his F. You know, I mean, then he went back to being who he is.
I'm afraid what he might say if you asked him to grade himself. I think we might get one of those long Charlie Morton answers at this point of, well, I've actually, all my other pitches are an A+, but my curveball's an F, and that's just the real problem right now. No. Can't say that anymore. You stink. Yeah. You stink out loud. It's an F. Yep. And even if you wanted to frame it, you know, and try to spin it a certain type of way, that if they had signed him as, like, you know, a tack-on piece at the very end, that they had filled out their rotation, but Morton was just like the sixth or seventh guy to maybe dip into him at some point this season, it would still be an F if he performed that way. But it becomes even worse when you view it for what it is that he was, what, their number two starter? He started the second game of the season? Just complete failure, top to bottom.
Yep, and last year for the Braves, he was 8-10, made 30 starts. He was all supposed to be an innings eater and, you know, back end of the rotation level guy. You know, 8-10, 4.19 ERA, more innings pitched than hits. I mean, the walk number, the whip wasn't astronomical. He did pitch poorly in September for them as they made the playoffs, but this is a guy that has done pretty well throughout his career, and he has been dreadful this season for the Orioles. And as Nolan said, he moved up the depth chart because of injuries to other pitchers. So this is an easy one. Charlie Morton gets an F for an Orioles starting pitcher. Let's move to Dean Kramer, because he's an interesting story here. He's 3-4, coming off a great start. His whip's 138. ERA is 573. 7 home runs allowed. And man bun tends to give up the gopher ball from time to time. You know, I want more from him moving forward. And what we saw Friday night is what he's capable of doing, of course. But he's been real inconsistent the last couple of years. So I'm giving man bun a C-. Maybe even pushing kind of a D, but he's been trending upwards his last couple of starts here.
Fair. What Big Ben said yesterday was welcome to May, because he always stinks usually in April, and then he starts to pick it up a little bit. Yeah, he's had one really good performance. Friday night, when he was awesome. I mean, the game was over almost by 9 o'clock. I mean, that thing just flew by. And we'll see. Yeah, right now, Bob, not good.
Yeah, C minus.
Yeah.
You pass, but you're not getting any like valedictorian stuff or whatever the hell that thing's called. Like Nolan was.
Right. Oh, A plus student, model student.
Oh, we're, no. Oh, you're
not even close. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
yeah. You're Nick Pivetta right now.
Right. Well, you know, Dean Kramer, he really was awesome on Friday, and only 82 pitches when he left. I mean, could have been a case to be made for him coming back out for another inning, but I guess you prefer start clean there. You're coming off the off day, so no harm, no foul. Certainly no reason to complain about that win. But I'm going to go D plus for Dean Kramer because, again, besides that start on Friday, really just one other where I would consider it winning baseball, and that was a start against Cleveland in mid-April. 5 1/3 allowed the one earned run. They win that game. Other than that, I mean, he gave up 2 runs against Kansas City the first time, but he got taken out before he could finish the fifth. So just not deep enough. Again, inflated pitch count even when he has pitched well at times this year. Not enough for me to tap into the C's yet.
So there you go. There's two that we've graded so far. Starting pitchers for the Orioles. We'll keep doing this throughout the course of the program as time permits. Orioles are off today. Off to Minnesota. 3-game set starting tomorrow against the Twins. Minnesota has been one of the more disappointing teams in baseball themselves this year. Let's go to Gerald in Annapolis. Gerald, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for taking the call. I love this show. You, Vinny Haney is the best. Listen, I wanna piggyback on what the last caller said. Elias's program. Grow the bats, buy the arms. It's hard to explain how we could have the best farm system in baseball and he haven't transitioned yet. And the last thing I wanna say is I hate to say it now, but I was a Bobby Witt guy at the draft when we took Rutschman. Allie's a great player, but I was a Bobby Witt guy and thank you guys for taking the call, and I'll hang up now.
All right, Gerald. A lot of people kind of jumping on that bandwagon right now.
That's easy to do now.
Yeah, a year ago at this time, Adley was on his way to start in the All-Star game, and appropriately so.
And really, you couldn't go wrong with either guy at the draft. I mean, you know, Adley was a little bit older. Witt was young. Adley was, you build around the catcher. And Bob, when he came in, he changed the organization. They started winning games. So, I mean, That wasn't a mistake.
Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, man?
I went to the game on Friday and the game yesterday, and just the atmosphere was so much different between the two games. I think Friday was one of the best all-around baseball games they've played all season on both sides of the ball, which leads me to my point about, I just feel like this team – it's like a flip of a switch where on one half of the switch you have great pitching and the other side of the switch you have great hitting. And I feel like it's always one or the other this year. And like Friday, we got to see what happens when both come in together and that they're actually capable of winning some good games against some good teams. We saw with the Yankee series too. So, it's just a little frustrating. I will say though, yesterday, I felt like we were playing in Colorado the way the ball was coming off the bat for both teams. You know, those flyouts weren't routine. They were getting up in a wind tunnel and just carrying, and it was incredible to see how the ball was just jumping off the bat. So,
all right, Ryan. Well, you went Friday and yesterday. Enjoy your bobbleheads. May the 4th be with you, belated. But Kansas City was wearing out the bullpen.
Well, Bob,
here at left center field was like their happy place yesterday.
Those exit velos on all the home runs were. They weren't wind-aided homers.
No, they were bombs, and the Orioles were too. And hey, look, once that weather and the humidity starts to percolate, not saying yesterday was that day, but we see how it goes. But to his point, Ryan, Friday we talk about, I've been asking, where's the clean game? I think Friday was the cleanest they have played, but they got really dirty the next two. What's that old soap from back in the day, lava? They need some lava soap to wash the dirt off of that. Whip around coming up next. Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs, game sevens, alive and well. And in the other Eastern Conference series, how about the number one seed losing at home?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Joe Beninani, voice of the Caps, joining us bottom of the hour. Washington, Carolina start their best of seven semifinal series tomorrow. But in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, an epic two overtime thriller, no shortage of drama there.
Under 10 seconds to go, the Jets with an opportunity. Ehlers misfires, passes across the shot, they score! Can you believe it? My goodness! Kyle Connor, Pionk wants it, he gets it. Pionk shoots, tip, they score! Game over, series over!
Sportsnet on the call. What a thrilling game seven there, Winnipeg. They take out St. Louis in seven games. And for the Blues, boy, they're appropriately named today because they're singing the blues in St. Louis right
now. Yeah, that was an unbelievable game. I mean, Blues were up 2-0, and Winnipeg wasn't really in it. Hellebuck was bad early on. I mean, they were booing him and everything.
He had a rough series, didn't he?
On the road, he got benched in every way. Yeah. He was out after the second period in all three of the road games. And in this one, in the overtime, he made an unbelievable save. 2-on-1, net wide open, stopped it with his stick. He ended up being third star of the game, you know, in that one. But you're winning 3-1, game seven, with 2 minutes to go in the game. 3-1. And you end up tying it with 1 second to go. I mean, you just think, you know, instead of with the empty net, they're icing it all the time because they're shooting at the net trying to score. Just carry it out and just feather it down the ice, and you eat up seconds. I mean, they've got to be so disappointed. And Winnipeg, they just got to be happy as hell. And that was that environment there. They had a whiteout, and it was an unbelievable one. And Bob, I mean, Saturday night the game with Dallas and Colorado. I mean, Colorado was dominating Saturday night. I mean, they were winning 2-0, and Dallas scores 4 goals in the third period. And Mikko Rantanen got a hat trick in the third period, and he originally was from Colorado, and they didn't sign him. So two awesome, awesome game sevens, you know, and then we'll start tonight with Florida-Toronto. That'll be an interesting series. I think Florida's the best team in hockey right now, and they're defending champs, and that's going to be a difficult one. And like you said, the Caps, they open up Tuesday night. We got Joe B to talk about that in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, Winnipeg, by the way, takes on Dallas. That series starts on Wednesday. Game one out West. NBA playoffs. Well, game seven in Houston. It was the Warriors 103-89 over the Rockets. Closed them out in an exciting series. Houston couldn't defend their home court. Buddy Hield, 9-for-11. From beyond the arc, he has 33. Steph Curry had 22 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. That is it as Golden State yet again sends Houston home in the postseason. Houston overachieved big time. They finished the number 2 seed in the West when they weren't even expected to get to the playoffs at all. But their series is done. But a lot of great young talent there. We'll see what they could do in the offseason to maybe bring some veteran influence into it. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore's own. Archbishop Spalding, Villanova, did not play. So Cam Whitmore and the Rockets, their season comes to an end. Golden State now gets the Minnesota T-Wolves. It was the Pacers, 121-112 over Cleveland. In Cleveland, Andrew Nembhard, 23 points. Tyrese Halliburton, he had 22, 3-13 as they were just going crazy, taking it to the Cavaliers from beyond the arc and beyond. Donovan Mitchell had 33. So the Pacers lead that series 1-0. First loss of the postseason for the Cavaliers. Game 2 coming up tomorrow night in Cleveland. Tonight, it's the Knicks at Celtics. Game 1, 7 o'clock tip. And it's the Nuggets at Thunder. Denver finishes off the Clippers over the weekend in 7 games. So Oklahoma City They haven't played since last Saturday. They've been off for quite some. Their last game was literally played in April. So now they're ready to rock and roll against the Nuggets 2 years removed from winning the NBA championship. Kentucky Derby. Sovereignty won the Derby, beating Journalism down the stretch in the mud. It was a sloppy track, of course. I did have Sovereignty in my exacta, but I didn't pair them up with Journalism, so I didn't win. But I did win a $2 exacta, won $54 in the race prior. So it was not a lost weekend there for the old Bobster when it came to horse racing. In a way, wins and boxing. It was a big card weekend, big weekend. Times Square, invitation only on Friday. All the big celebrities were there watching the boxing. All three of those fights sucked. Ryan Garcia lost to Rolly Romero. Devin Haney ran for his life. Lopez, Teofimo Lopez, did what he had to do. Canelo Alvarez in a snooze fest on Saturday. But in a way, against Cardenas, that was last night. That one was exciting. Actually, one of the fights of the year. In a way, wins TKO 8, but he had to get off the canvas to do so. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around here on this Monday. This day in Orioles history. How about, it's May 5th, by the way, Cinco de Mayo. 2012, Fenway. Adam Jones went yard. Mark Reynolds hit a three-run bomb. Jason Hamill improved to 4-1 on the year as the Orioles clobber the Sox 8-2. 2021, on this day, 4 years ago, in Seattle. John Means was a wild pitch away from throwing a perfect game. But he throws a no-hitter, the first complete game perfect or no-hitter for the Orioles since Jim Palmer back in 1969. 6-0 Orioles beat Seattle. The Orioles only won 51 games that year, and that was one of them. Nolan, remember Pat Valaika? He had a home run. Trey Mancini went deep, but John Means was brilliant. 6-0 Orioles in that day. 2023 in Atlanta. Speaking of Dean Kramer, this was a Friday night. We're all talking. If he sucks, he's going back to the minors. And he beat Max Fried. Tony Taters hit home runs, helped cause. Sed went deep as well. Orioles beat the Braves 9-4. And then a year ago today, in Cincinnati, Jordan Westberg, Ryan McKenna, and Anthony Santander all went deep. Dean Kramer got the win as the Orioles clobber the Cincinnati Reds 11-1, only a year ago today. When we come back, talk about the Caps and the Carolina Panthers. That starts tomorrow with Joe Beninati. Then we got a fun house trip, Nolan McGraw. There we're going out to one winning drive. Vinny was out there at rookie camp. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh. We're going to hear from Malachi Starks, Mike Green. What's Justin Tucker's future in Baltimore if he has one? Stick around, you'll find.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's say drunk with, joy after getting by Montreal. Now you have Carolina, a daunting task coming up starting tomorrow, Eastern Conference semifinals. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Voice of the Caps, let's talk about the Montreal series that was and what the next series will be. He's Joe Beninati on the Window Nation guest hotline. Joe B., how you feeling on this Monday morning?
Bob, no boozing for the Caps today. Absolutely not. No boozing for the Caps whatsoever. I'm doing well, and hopefully you guys are just the same.
Now, the Montreal series, Joe B., and look, Caps were expected to win, and they did in five, but there were some interesting contests among the five games. How does that sort of, you know, we survive in advance mentality benefit them looking ahead to what we expect to be a tougher series against the Hurricanes?
Everyone knows at this time of the year, guys, you want to be battle-tested and feel like you're battle-tested headed into these best-of-sevens. And everybody anticipated that Montreal had been playing playoff hockey for 6-7 weeks. They had to climb over 7 different teams just to get into the playoffs, whereas the Capitals were coming off of the I think pretty much coming off of the accelerator. They had taken their foot off the gas. They had run away with the Metro. They had run away with the Eastern Conference. So just judging by the first couple of games at home, I thought it was really important to hold serve. There was a blip in the radar there in game three north of the border. They bounced back from that, made sure they got the split that they needed on the road, and then finished matters at home. I think all in all, they were pleased, not overwhelmed, not overjoyed by any stretch, and they definitely know that they've got to elevate with Carolina ahead.
Hey, Joe B., before we get back on the Caps, how about the games, game seven, Saturday night and last night? That was unbelievable last night, tying it with 1 second to go.
Pretty amazing, Vinny, when you think about it. I didn't see the Dallas-Colorado game. I was doing Maryland-Ohio State lacrosse that night, so I didn't see that one. But I sure saw every inch of the St. Louis-Winnipeg game and could not believe my eyes in the last couple of minutes there that Winnipeg was able to rally. It sure looked like St. Louis was going to push the President's Trophy winner out in the first round and on home ice, which would have been just crushing for the folks in Winnipeg. But good on the Jets. That team has been terrific all season long, and I don't know how badly the injury to Josh Morrissey is, but he's super incredibly critical to their success. But for them to do what they did, playing with only 5D for most of that game seven and going well into double overtime, I mean, that's a quality effort and an amazing one in the last couple of minutes. I can't imagine. That building is amazingly loud. It's the smallest by capacity in the league, guys, but they only get 15,000 in there, but sometimes they sound like 150,000, and I'm sure they did last night.
Joe B., game five, I thought the Caps pretty much dominated. I mean, the goal that Montreal got bounced off of, what, Roy's butt or whatever. But, you know, going into this next series, I think you got what you want. You know, you got a hot goaltender. Logan Thompson's playing great. And I don't know, you've seen a lot more of the Caps. Tom Wilson, to me, has he played ever any better than this ever?
He's had a fantastic season cover to cover. And, you know, he's 2 years removed now from a very significant knee injury. He works so hard at his craft, and he's just the guy that you know will be the Caps captain once Alex Ovechkin decides that it's time to go. Tom Wilson is a player that his teammates gravitate to. And obviously with his influential hit in game four, turning that series on its ear, he's been the guy. He's going to be the lightning rod now for the Caps, one of them at least, as they move forward. And to answer your question specifically, probably not in terms of have I ever seen him play better all around? Probably not. This year's offensive game, and he was entrusted with, you know, power play responsibilities. With TJ Oshie not playing this season, Tom acclimated pretty well to that interior spot on the power play unit, and as a result, pushed past 30-plus goals this season, and I couldn't be more happier for him.
Hey, Joe B., talk a little bit about Carberry, because not a lot of people know a lot about him, you know, but he's got quite a few veterans on the team, and he's doing an awesome job. I mean, he's up for whatever they call the Coach of the Year Award with Marty St. Louis.
Jack Adams Award with Martin St. Louis and Scott Arneil, the Winnipeg head coach. Obviously, the Jets were the President's Trophy winners this year. Personally, Spencer got my vote. That's voted on by the NHL Broadcasters Association. I think Spencer will win that award in a landslide. And it's not just Carberry, guys. That staff is fantastic. Spencer's assembled a really good staff, top to bottom. But Spencer gets the lion's share of the credit, and deservedly so. He's amazingly intense. He has great schemes, both offensively and defensively. And he has the ability to relate really well to the players. He's the second youngest head coach in the NHL right now. Warsawski out in San Jose is younger. But Spencer has just come in 2 years and done phenomenal work. When you think about the job he did last year, he was deserving of Jack Adams Award consideration for Coach of the Year. And then this year with what he did and the staff did to acclimate seven new guys as quickly as they did and to play as well as they did, better than 50-plus wins in the regular season, this is a guy who Caps fans can be extremely proud of and who will not, by any stretch, be out-coached in this series. You've got a tremendous coaching matchup in this one-to-head with Rod Brind'Amour and Spencer Carberry.
Now, Joe B., what do they got to do? What are the keys for the Carolina series?
Anytime you play Carolina, Vinny, the word that comes up more often than not with what Rod Brindamore wants to do is create pressure. Everything the Canes do is involved to be a high-speed, pressure-packed approach. And that means Washington's defenders, specifically those six guys on the blue line, when the puck's in the defensive end, they've got to get back to it quickly. They've got to look over their shoulders just as quickly to find outlets, because it's going to be split seconds before a Carolina forecheck comes raining down on them. They live and breathe for defensive zone turnovers and creating offense as a result. They will not stop. It will be relentless. Our guys have a lot of experience with Carolina. They know what to expect. This won't be foreign to them. It won't surprise them, but it is relentless. And it's cool to watch, because if Washington is able to beat that pressure, they then create some odd man rushes up ice. And I think Carolina can leave itself on occasions exposed to counterattacks. And that's where Washington's offensive people can break free. But you've got to get out of your own end clean. If you don't, you're playing right into their hands. There's a lot of terrific players on Carolina. I think this is a wonderful matchup. I think it's a very long series. I expect it to be incredibly well played. I'm curious to see, with regard to Frederik Andersen, the netminder of Carolina, who is injured. I'm wondering if he's going to be 100. But there's depth here. When you get to these last eight teams, Bob and Vinny, any of these eight teams can win the cup. That's how close it is. That's the parity of the NHL.
Hey, Joe B., what do you think goes on in the NHL? Because you just talked about Carberry being one of the youngest. I mean, what do we got, 9 job openings right now? And, you know, they're talking a lot about a lot of the retread guys coming back.
It's amazing. Before too long, Spencer Carberry will be the longest tenured coach, and he's only been here for 2 years. Hockey teams change coaches like most people change socks. It's a bit too much, in my opinion. It's never always about or only about the coach, but it's easier to let a coach go than 20 players. And more often than not, good hockey men become scapegoats, and they're the ones who lose their jobs. And it's interesting because, like you had mentioned, there are a lot of retreads. They do come back to bringing folks who've been in the mix back into the mix and hope that a change of scenery will do them well.
He's the voice of the Caps, Joe Beninati. He is always 100 Caps tomorrow. Tell you to Carolina, which should be a very entertaining and interesting Eastern Conference semifinal Stanley Cup playoff series. Joe B., appreciate the time as always. We'll be watching, we'll be listening, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully about some good stuff.
Guys, my pleasure. Check in with me anytime.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe B., everybody. By the way, Maryland lost to Ohio State in that lacrosse game that Joe B. was calling, but the Terps and Towson both got into the NCAA tournament. Yes, we're at that time of the year when we come back. It's that time of the show. Funhouse with old Quick Draw McGraw there. The news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from Malachi Starks, Ravens' number one draft pick, where he fits in, how he fits in. And Vinny was there. How did he look? 12:30 with Jacob, but let's bring Nolan in. Quick Draw, how you feeling over there? You've had an hour to maybe reflect on some of these Oriole comments that you've made. You're always kind of sort of on point, so we respect that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, PT.
I didn't know if you were going somewhere. I thought that was lining up for a backhanded compliment.
No. PT enjoyed what you guys were obviously talking about off the air, and maybe he misinterpreted what you were saying. Apparently.
I think he was on the phone with someone else at the same time.
Right.
But all this talk about pitching, Elias's draft strategy, if you will, it's come up a couple times here today. And I was just sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, you know, previous regimes, not just Duquette, even go back before that, has there been any success with the way they've drafted starting pitchers? They haven't had a single starting pitcher drafted prominently first round or even in a later round that's actually panned out for them as a starter. Zach Britton, well, he was an elite reliever for, what, 3 full seasons? So you take that, he was an all-star. That's a success story. But beyond that, it's been swing and a miss after swing and a miss. Just reading some of the names, we know them all. Brian Mattis, Matt Hobgood, Jake Arrieta.
Oh, that was a disaster.
That might have been the worst of all. Arrieta wasn't a first-rounder.
Sedlock was the guy I was thinking of, right?
Sedlock, he's in there. Yeah. He's not with the team anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he's in baseball, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong.
Might be somewhere. Hunter Harvey, Kevin Gausman, again, kind of
around,
like Arrieta flourished after he left Baltimore. Dylan Bundy's best year, he only threw like 60-some innings. And now Grayson and D.L. Hall. D.L. Hall's not with the team anymore, still hasn't taken off, injuries still biting him.
Yep.
Grayson's the most recent, but again, that was back in 2018.
You can go back to, I guess, the late 80s when they took Greg Olson first round in 88, won Rookie of the Year. Ben McDonald was the first pick in the draft in 89. At that time, the highest rated pitching prospect ever, according to the scouting services, and then took Messina in the first round in 91. And two of the injuries eventually ended both Olson and Ben McDonald. Messina became a Hall of Famer and was great for the Orioles, but outside of that three-year run, because they thought the Orioles, and this was Andy McPhail, Bundy can't miss prospect, kind of fell to the Orioles because everyone figured, you know, that was before they were slotted. Throw 100-plus miles an hour in the minors, got hurt. Gausman came in the next year, proven track record at LSU, fourth pick. And then Hunter Harvey a little later in the first round, you know, high school kid. He threw 100 bazillion miles an hour, injuries. He's now injured in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, for the Royals right now. I mean, Gausman's made a few million dollars throwing a baseball. Bundy's out of the league. So that trio, after drafted Manny the year prior, that was the foundation that was going to turn this team around. And then the trade McPhail made with Seattle for Jonesy and Tillman was the real foundation there. But yeah, to your point, Nolan, drafting pitchers high, not good.
So I say all this to make a greater point, I guess, is that we can get on Elias for a lot. I certainly will. But I'll reiterate my point from earlier. I can't fault him for his draft strategy. If he wants to go exclusively towards the bats, and not just bats, college bats at that, he hasn't really even dabbled in anybody high school.
Well, Holiday.
Right. Well, he was a uber, can't miss.
Sure.
But outside of that, again, he's sticking to his plan, and it's hard to fault him when it's worked to this point. And sure, these were other regimes that drafted all these Orioles pitchers here, but it's not just an Orioles thing. I mean, look around the league. I mean, even the Tigers right now, they hit on Skubal, but some of their they have plenty of swings.
Casey Mize was the first pick in the draft, and he got hurt. He's pitching well this year, but yeah, and Skubal was what, 13th round pick? He wasn't even a top guy.
So yeah, I mean, look, it's hard for me to fault that part of it, but you do have to follow it up. If you're not going to draft him, you got to find him somewhere else. If you're not going to spend big money on a regular basis, you're exclusively navigating through trades, and to this point, it's been an F.
Well, all things being considered, they're 13-20. That's where we stand right now. Got time for a funhouse trip or no?
Quick Draw's Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, a little bit earlier, a caller compared Charlie Morton to Yubaldo Jimenez. Texter here agreeing somewhat, but bad memories. Says he turned off yesterday's game as soon as Morton came out of the bullpen. I haven't turned off a game when a relief pitcher came in since Yubaldo came into the wild card game in 2016. That's Buck and Arbutus there with some bad memories and bad comparison at that.
Yeah, and all you had to do was hear the crack of the bat from old parrot arm there, and that was the end of that one. Yubaldo signed a four-year deal. That was bad. Bad. That was a Danny Kett move. They wanted to bolster the starting rotation after 13, rather, and he had come off a good year with Cleveland, but he had kind of sucked in the three previous years. He did pitch Nolan the clincher in 2014, by the way. Yubaldo.
That's right. How about this one here from Howard in Baltimore? Says, I think the commentary team said it best yesterday. Kansas City, the worst home run hitting team in baseball prior to the series, but it looked like batting practice for them throughout the weekend. The bullpen was supposed to be the strength of this team, or at least was by default. Now they're falling apart. Seven teams with 20-plus losses in Major League Baseball. Welcome to the club, Baltimore Orioles.
And the Orioles have the third worst run differential in baseball, too, behind only Colorado. and the Angels again. If you missed the game, Orioles threw six pitchers out there. Five of them gave up home runs. Keegan Aiken got out unscathed.
And our last text of the day here comes from this one who says, I've been saying for 2 years now, I think people need to pump the brakes on the Orioles World Series window, how open it really even was. 2023 team wildly overachieved because they had pretty good injury luck. There was no pressure to win at the time. They were playing with house money and an absurd winning percentage in one-run games, just not sustainable.
Well, they did make the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken, and won 91 games. And for the first 2.5 months into the All-Star break, they were one of the best teams in baseball. And they had a winning record in the second half of 2022. I think they had kind of built into this team that was expected to compete for a postseason berth yet again. But they stink right now. Do you want to hear they have 14 guys on the IL, which is the most in baseball? You want to hear that or no? We're not taking that?
No, half of them were on the IL when spring training started.
Okay, I'm just pointing out a fact. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back. News from the desk. Switch to the Ravens. Rookie camp opened to the media yesterday. Heard from some said rookies. Vinny was there with scouting reports. Stick around for that. Counts of money. Hopefully at 12:15-ish. Buy or sell. And Jacob Calvin Meyer of the Baltimore Sun. He'll hand out his own grades as the Orioles are off today. Taking on Minnesota tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.